Of mostly sunny tomorrow. Friday's high 18. The 5-day weather trend for the weekend, a few degrees below the normal high. Warmer Monday and Tuesday, and the next substantial chance of precipitation coming up on Tuesday in the form of either rain or snow. Right now, 24 degrees, winds out of the southwest, gusting as high as 24 miles an hour, a wind chill reading of 11. I'm David Cole, WGTD News.
Support for WGTD comes from the Nor-A Hair District, reminding you that many traffic accidents are a result of drivers on their cell phones. Whether you're talking or texting, cell phone usage while driving has become a serious problem. Nor-A Hair District is located at 1947 Martin Luther King Drive in Milwaukee, 414-455-3007. That's 414-455-3007.
And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Today, January 27th, is Holocaust Remembrance Day. It was on this date in 1945 that the Nazi concentration camp at Auschwitz was liberated. And so this is set aside as Holocaust Remembrance Day. We are going to be speaking in a few moments with Minna Miller, who is the founder of an extraordinary group based in Seattle called Music of Remembrance, which seeks to commemorate all those who lost their lives in the Holocaust, and in particular to pay tribute to those great artists, composers, poets who continued to create beauty even in the midst of such horror. We'll be playing several excerpts from recordings that have been made in collaboration with Music of Remembrance, beginning with this excerpt from Thomas Pasitieri's powerful work called Letter to Warsaw. That is music from Thomas Pasitieri's Letter to Warsaw. And this is one of a number of recordings brought to the world by an extraordinary group called Music of Remembrance, an organization based in Seattle, Washington, founded back in 1998 by concert pianist Minna Miller. Music of Remembrance seeks to pay tribute to those whose lives were consumed by the Holocaust, keeping the story of the innocent lives lost in the Holocaust vivid to this present day and beyond, and honoring, in their words, that is, in the words of Music of Remembrance, people who dared to create even in the darkest of times. Music of Remembrance bringing to the world poetry and music created in the midst of the Holocaust, as well as contemporary works inspired by those courageous composers and writers. I am so honored to have Minna Miller with me, president and artistic director of Music of Remembrance. And we're going to be talking about what galvanized her to create this group back in 1998, the kind of concerts and presentations which they share with the public each and every year. And we'll also be talking about a very special concert, which is called Art from Ashes, which is available video on demand right now, in which you can hear more of the work of Music of Remembrance. Minna Miller, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you so much, Gregory. I was so delighted that you got in touch with me, and I appreciate the opportunity to share the work of Music of Remembrance, especially on such a solemn occasion as the milestone of the anniversary, milestone of liberation of Auschwitz, 77 years, and International Holocaust Remembrance Day. On this milestone anniversary, and every year is a milestone, it doesn't have to be 75, it can be 77, it's an important time to look at the impact of this history and examine its meaning for today. And so much of our work is not only performing the music of Holocaust-era composers, and as you mentioned, those who had the courage to speak up in the face of cruelty and create works under such extraordinary, cruel circumstances, but also to look at issues for today's time and apply those lessons. And it was interesting that you chose to share with our audience this morning the music of Thomas Pasetieri, Letter to Warsaw. It was one of our very earliest commissions with Music of Remembrance, and it was inspired by the poetry of Paula Braun, who was a cabaret singer in the Warsaw Ghetto, who was then deported to Majdanek and perished. And her poetry survived, but the melodies that she sang them to did not. And when we approached Thomas Pasetieri about this project of setting those lyrics to music, he was very moved, and he created an extraordinary work, Letter to Warsaw, setting five of her extraordinary poems. And it was our very first collaboration at the time with a conductor then of the Seattle Symphony, Gerard Schwartz. And as this goes back to 2003. And the soprano soloist then was Jane Eaglin. So just hearing some of that music on your program today, makes me reminisce about that particular project and how meaningful it was to us.
As your work, in a sense, first got off the ground. Ahead of us talking about you creating Music of Remembrance back in 1998, tell us a little bit about what your musical career was like before that, and if there was any hint in what you did before 1998 that would have suggested this next chapter that has unfolded over the last couple of decades.
Well, I have a PhD in performance from New York University. So I have to say I was always combining my experience as a pianist with research. And I found that one inspired the other. And my dissertation topic, which is a long time ago, was on the piano music of Carl Nielsen. And I did a tremendous amount of research to put together a whole collected edition of Carl Nielsen's piano music and learned Danish at the time and did a tremendous amount of research. And I was very immersed in the culture and the period of the time. And it inspired me to look at my own roots. I thought if I could become so involved in history of a Scandinavian composer in this time period, you know, what was this time period during the war years and the time, and I knew my parents were refugees who never spoke about the past. They were the only survivors in their family, and I knew that we had no relatives, and it was just, they were all lost in the war. They were murdered. And it seems odd that the inspiration, having worked on a Scandinavian composer, could inspire working on Czech murdered composers, but it did. And it made me think about, I could have easily been born on the other side of the ocean. And I began to explore, well, what was happening on the other side of the ocean and what would have happened to me? And at that time, and years that I started to research music from the concentration camps in Terezin was probably in the early 90s. I didn't form Music Remembrance until 98. But I became familiar with the extraordinary creative life at the Terezin concentration camp. And I saw these recital programs that were given by prisoners. And I want to impress upon our audience today that Terezin was a concentration camp that was set up by the Nazis to deceive the world, that they were treating Jews humanely. But in fact, mostly all of the prisoners that passed through Terezin were deported to death camps. And it was just a temporary period that they were in this camp where they could actually have some musical creation, because it was set up as to deceive the world and show it off as a ghetto, model ghetto. And it was haunting to me to see piano programs, literally ones that I had actually performed, and the identification was quite dramatic. And I thought, if there was ever a time in my life that I could devote myself to forming an organization that would be dedicated to music related to the Holocaust, that is what I would do. And circumstances were that I relocated to Seattle to join my husband, and I decided to put all of my heart and soul into creating an organization dedicated to remembering the Holocaust through music. And that's how we formed in 1998. But the seeds for it, my being a researcher, my having done research on a completely different culture and learning the language, and we think, you know, I did this for a Scandinavian composer. I want to find the roots of my own heritage and identity. And it began an extraordinary journey. And certainly when I began in 98, I didn't really know where that journey would take us to. And here we are. Next season will be our 25th. And we have had many journeys in many directions. Perhaps I can talk more about that as we move forward with the repertoire you're going to share.
Sure. I should think that one thing that has probably evolved over time is maybe a growing sense of urgency, in the sense that, of course, as the years go by, we lose more and more Holocaust survivors. Till now, in this present day, I'm pretty certain that the Holocaust survivors still with us, for the most part, were children then, and someday they will be gone as well. How does that change, in a sense, the sense of urgency that you have about doing what you do with Music of Remembrance?
Well, it's something that we're conscious of all the time. And being able to work with a living survivor is precious. And we are enormously grateful that we have been able to seize many of those opportunities. We've had several that have been transformative experiences, not only for our performers, our audience, but for the children that were involved in these productions. I can think of our productions of Brindibar, the first one in 2006 of the brilliant adaptation by Tony Kushner of the libretto by Hofmeister. And we brought Ella Stein Weisberger to that production. And Ella was the cat in all 55 performances of Brindibar in the Terezin Camp, and she made it her life's mission to tell her story to the world. And I will never forget when she joined our chorus, the victory chorus, where they feel they've overcome, they've won the fight. And Ella joins, and she sings that chorus in Czech, and she takes the hand of the cat of today, the young boy who's singing that role. It's the crossing of history that's extraordinary. And we still get letters today from kids that were in that performance and children that were in Venom, for example, which sets to music the extraordinary poetry and journal writings of a group of imprisoned boys in the Terezin camp. We get stories from them that years later they say, this was a transformative experience in my life. And those are priceless moments, and we're grateful that when we come across those moments that we seize them and we create a work that is for the future, that speaks to today in those words and bringing them forward.
Well said. One of the things that I have found striking in exploring many, probably just about all of the recordings that Music of Remembrance has shared with the world, is that one might assume, and mistakenly assume, that every measure of music is going to be sort of dripping with sorrow, because of course all of this springs out of an unspeakable human tragedy, and yet so much of the music that you share with the world has the spark of joy and hope. And even when we're talking about, for instance, music that was composed and performed right in the heart of the Holocaust, that much of that music has a surprising amount of life and vitality to it. Is that a surprise to you as well, or have you been doing this so long that that's just something you're able to just take in as, of course?
Well, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. And I think that the sense of that spirit, it gives us such insight into the human spirit and the capacity, the human capacity for this. That this music is witnessed to such extraordinary courage, and it comes out in extraordinary music that's vibrant, it's full of life. And I mean, I'm thinking now to the concert we're streaming, our Art from Ashes concert, which is probably a single concert each year that we devote exclusively to the works of murdered composers that were created in the camps. And two tangos that we're performing on this program are ones I recently came across. One was created in Auschwitz. The lyrics were written by a 12-year-old girl who we don't know much about her, except that she was not Jewish and died in the camp. And one that was created in Buchenwald. And we had them arranged for a small instrumental ensemble. And one was set in Yiddish, by the resistance fighter Shmerker Kaczerginski. And the other we had translated from Polish into English. And the tango was a craze across Europe. So even in the camps, it still was something that looked toward better days, toward hope. And that's what's amazing, is that there was always that sense of the future. It never ceases to amaze me, never.
I'm reminded of something that I will never forget seeing in the heart of Prague, in a museum there, a Holocaust museum adjacent to the main synagogue in Prague. Yes. and the Jewish cemetery there. And there was, when I visited there in, I think it was 2000, there was a display of artwork from youngsters lost in the Holocaust. And I still remember one that was a homemade film strip. I mean, it was just a long strip of paper, but with various frames of different images. And the images were Walt Disney images. And so, you know, here's this youngster, ultimately, whose life was consumed by the Holocaust, who knew about Walt Disney movies like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and had tried to color her own version of that in a prison camp where ultimately she would lose her life. And it was just such a striking example of light breaking through in the most remarkable ways. I mean, in ways that we would never imagine possible.
As I said, it never ceases to amaze me. And you know, and in Venom, the secret journal the boys created in Terezin, the journal entries and the poetry is extraordinary, and some of it is really, really humorous. And some of it is very nostalgic, but, you know, some of it is actually funny. And I would love to find I don't have them from memory, but I'd love to find just a few lines to read you of just the extraordinary wit of these young people and keeping their humor alive.
That would be fun. Let me reintroduce you while you're looking. Morning show guest for this portion of today's program is Minna Miller, who back in 1998 founded an incredible group called Music of Remembrance. They have devoted themselves for almost a quarter century now to remembering the Holocaust through music, and allowing the voices of those who lost their lives in the Holocaust, allowing those voices to ring on, including those who were composers and poets and other kinds of artists seeking to create new works of art, seeking to create beauty, even in the midst of something as horrific as the Holocaust. And Music of Remembrance sponsors a number of live performances as well as an array of recordings. And right now, a video on demand, a concert called Art from Ashes that is available for viewing.
The a very humorous poem that was created by someone in Venom, in the boy home, could have been very tragic because, as you know, when these kids were sent out on transports, people going on transports, they could just wear there are a few things and carry one bundle. Tragic. But here is a poem, and it's called Love in the Floodgates. My darling, I'd love to kiss you so, but you're all wrapped up from head to toe. 5 panties, 2 dresses, a cap and a hat. How can a chap get his arms around that? You know, it's extraordinary to me that a young person could create humor in the most tragic circumstance, you know, because you took with you what you want. Nobody really knew where they were going, but they knew they were going.
There are two things that are incredible. One is that poems like that were being written in such a setting, and it's also incredible that they survived. That, for instance, this little magazine that some of these boys at Terezin had created called Vedam, that many pages from that magazine surreptitiously published, if you will, behind the barbed wire of this camp, survive and can be shared with the world. By and large, how did such things survive?
Well, each piece has its own story, some of which we know, some of which we don't know. But particularly speaking about Venom, it's an extraordinary story because it survived because of the insight, foresight of one boy in that room, Sidney Talsik. He was the one boy who was not sent on a transport to Auschwitz. And that, of course, itself was a miracle. And he explained he wasn't sent on the transport because his father was the blacksmith in Terezin. And so they needed the blacksmith. The Nazis needed the blacksmith. And his father simply said, oh, I need my son to help me. So Sidney Talsik was not on the transport. All the other boys were. And he thought to himself, what is he going to do with all these magazines? 800 pages of a journal from over 2 years. So he and his father buried those pages in metal containers behind the blacksmith shed. And after liberation, they came to dig them up and brought them back to Prague. And eventually they found their way into a publication and into the museum. But it was extraordinary insight on his part. He was certainly a man of courage, because he also thought if these pages were ever found, you know, everyone's life would be in danger. So again, the courage people displayed is amazing. Mm. And actually, the poem that I read is probably the one humorous poem in of the poetry that Lori Lightman chose to set in her Holocaust oratorio Vedum. And it's powerful that she set it with a theme running through it of the Dvorak humoresque for violin. And that in itself has its own story, because when I interviewed some of the survivors, we were able to track down, and actually four of them came to Seattle for the world premiere in 2010. It was their reunion after 65 years of not seeing each other.
Wow.
And I met with each of them, and actually met with Emil Koppel months before when he came to the States. And he told me about his the death march he was on from Buchenwald. And he said what kept him alive was the melody of the Dvorak humoresque. And he said, do you know that melody? And, you know, and he sings the melody. And I said, sure. And he said, that melody kept me alive. He said, it kept me to help me put one foot forward after the next. Well, I heard that and I called Lori immediately and I said, Emil is here and you have to hear his story. This melody from the Dvorak humoresque kept him alive on the death march. And Emil prefaced his comment to me. He said, you know, I don't tell many people. In fact, he said, I don't think I've told anyone. But since you're a musician, I'll tell you, because if I told anyone else, they'd think I was crazy. So he confessed that this melody kept him alive. And Lori was the second person in the world to hear it. And so she knew that she wanted to incorporate that melody somewhere in Vedum. And she chose to do it at in this setting of this poem by Joseph Taussig, Love in the Floodgates. And it's her oratory is extraordinary. And that's one of the really, really special moments, because it has something in there of the survivor, of Emil's survival from the Dvorak humoresque to the poetry. I hope our listeners will have a chance to hear that.
Absolutely. And we'll play another excerpt from Vedum at the end of our conversation. I want to turn to something else by Lori Lightman. It allows us to hear you at the piano, and it's the lovely song called Lullaby, from her set of three called In Sleep, the World is Yours, featuring poetry by a young girl by the name of Selma Meerbaum Eisinger. It's a absolutely lovely song, and ahead of us hearing it, do you want to say anything about this and or your collaboration with composer Lori Lightman, who I know is a very special part of the Music of Remembrance family?
Oh, yes. And it's wonderful that we began collaborating with Lori very early on in the history of Music of Remembrance. We gave a premiere of her piece for double bass and baritone, Holocaust 1944, and then from that we established a friendship, and I have such admiration for her music, her talent for setting poetry, and her dramatic sense, that we began a journey together that has resulted in several important commissions. And the first one with Lori was The Seed of Dream, where she set the poetry of Abraham Sutzkever, who his Vilna Ghetto poetry, and that was for baritone and piano and cello. Very very moving set of songs. And then with Lori, we had Venom, and that was, as I said, it was a transformative experience. And then she took some of the poetry. Venom actually had a libretto by David Mason, who really told the story of Terezin and the young boys, and interspersed the poetry of some of these kids. And then we did just a song cycle of poems that she had set in Venom. And then we did In Sleep, the World is Yours, and poetry of Selma Meerbaum Eisinger. Again, a tragic life. A young girl whose dreams were never fulfilled, very, very talented poet who was taken in the prime of her life. And the poetry that Lori set comes from a collection titled Harvest of Blossoms, and which is kind of a notebook of poems that she kept for, you know, her young love. And remarkably, that set of poems and sort of a diary were preserved by family members, and with their efforts, the work was published and brought to my attention, actually by poet David Mason. And when I saw the poems, I asked Lori, please find some that resonate with you. Of course, it was hard for her to limit herself to a few poems because each one was so touching. And it was wonderful that some surviving family members came to the premiere of In Sleep, the World is Yours, which original setting was for soprano, oboe, and piano. We've also performed that cycle with clarinet, replacing instead of oboe. In both versions, it's a haunting cycle.
I quite agree. And here is the first of those three songs titled Lullaby.
Please sleep.
An absolutely exquisite song by Lori Laitman, Lullaby, from her set of three songs called In Sleep, The World Is Yours, the poetry by Selma Mirbaum-Eisinger, who lost her life in a Nazi labor camp in the Ukraine, and at the piano, my morning show guest, Minna Miller. It just takes my breath away listening to that again.
It does. It's so nice to hear that years later. We premiered that in 2014, and that's a number of years now. And so interesting to hear that, and how hauntingly beautiful it is. Mm. Poetry is touching, and Lori Laitman's music just captures something so special. Absolutely. You know, music is so special to evoke memory, and you know, it's special power for sharing personal memory and witness. And you know, you hear the innocent lines of this young girl, and Lori captures that sentiment so movingly.
Hmm. Before we let you go, I want to give you a chance to say something about this concert that is available with a video on demand called Art from Ashes. And of course, Music of Remembrance has not been immune to the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, and your normal pattern of live performances, of course, has been interrupted, but you've carried on in virtual fashion, I think, with very impressive results. Tell our listeners about this concert that you made available to the world this past Sunday.
Yes, well, we'll be streaming Art from Ashes until the end of the month, and it focuses on murdered composers from across Nazi-controlled Europe. And some of these names might be familiar to our audiences, and some are not, but the music comes from one of the darkest periods in human history, as we've been talking during the program. You'll hear a soulful arioso for solo cello by James Simon. His name sounds British, but in fact, he was thoroughly German, spent some time in Amsterdam, and was in the Netherlands that he was taken to Terezin and murdered in Auschwitz. Many of his works are not published and are in manuscript form. And something so touching that breaks my heart is a witness remembers James Simon at waiting for the transport, waiting for the train, and jotting down his last musical thoughts. And when we present that piece, it's very hard to separate that image in my mind to the creation, which is very, 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 very beautiful and moving. The other works on the program are, I talked earlier about tangos from created in Auschwitz and Buchenwald that are extraordinarily vibrant, even though the lyrics are sarcastic. we have a movement from Pavel Haas's second string quartet subtitle from the Monkey Mountains, which is very powerful. He perished also from Terezin to Auschwitz, and tragically he divorced his non-Jewish wife and daughter so that he could save their lives, which became possible. We have songs from Terezin, some by amateur composers in the camp, Carlo Talbi and Ilse Weber, and also by Victor Ullmann, a very important musical force in European life between the world wars. A Gideon Klein duo for cello and violin. And this is a work that actually was not completed because it was begun in Prague in the month of November in 1941. And Klein was deported to Terezin the following month in December. And so the second movement is unfinished. And it's heartbreaking. We'll also be performing works by Dick Kattenberg, a Dutch composer whose story parallels Anne Frank. He was just 10 years older than her, but again, spent the war years in hiding till he was betrayed and perished on a death march from Auschwitz before the camp was liberated. And the reason that we only have scores of his, again in manuscript form, many of them, is because they were left to his sister who survived the Holocaust and discovered by his niece. And 60 years later, we're able to find some of these extraordinary works. Again, it's the escapades, work for two violins, is work of such vibrancy and humor, and it's thrilling. It's thrilling. But I do want to say that we conclude the program with a very moving work by contemporary American composer Jake Heggie. And it is a setting of the stirring finale of his opera, Out of Darkness, that we commissioned. And it is called Farewell Auschwitz, and it's based on the poetry of Krystyna Szulowska, who survived Auschwitz. She survived Auschwitz miraculously through her poetry that was inspiring to a capo in Auschwitz, who gave her a privileged job in the camp, of privilege in the sense that she wasn't out in the fields, but she was in the Effektenkammer collecting the effects of the prisoners who were then sent to the gas chambers. And we asked Jake Heggie to arrange this these words for child voices. And we play this performance that we did from January 27th, 2020. It was our last in-person concert before the pandemic broke. And it is a setting for our Music Remembrance Ensemble and child voices of Jake Heggie's Farewell Auschwitz, so the words of Krystyna Szulowska. And many of her poems became anthems of defiance. And this particular one, Farewell Auschwitz, was certainly one of them. And we love to leave our audiences with the feeling of strength that she exhibited and the courage that we all need to have in dealing with the emotional journey of the Holocaust and its lessons for today.
Marvelous. And so people can go to the website for Music of Remembrance in order to see this program, correct?
Yes. It's Art from Ashes. Just go to our website, musicofremembrance.org. There'll be a carousel that will bring you there, or you'll just go to upcoming concerts. You'll see it streaming, and just click, and you'll be able to watch it from any time you choose through January 31st, and it's free of charge.
Very good. Although I know there is a place where people are invited to make a contribution to help support the important work that you are doing with Music of Remembrance.
Thank you. We would be grateful. Thank you so much.
And to finish out the program, we're going to play a portion of this incredible oratorio by Lori Lateman called Vadim. And again, this is featuring texts from young teenage boys in that prison camp who put together their own small little magazine. And some of those writings were preserved and are with us to this day, given musical life by Lori Lateman in her oratorio. And I'll be playing a movement called We Were Alive, a wonderful expression of vitality. that is also very much a part of the legacy of Music of Remembrance. Minna Miller, Artistic Director of Music of Remembrance, I am so honored to speak with you. I greatly admire all that you have done with your organization and wish you many, many more years of important and joyous music making. And thank you for being part of the morning show today.
Thank you so very much, Gregory.
An excerpt from the oratorio Vedam by Laurie Lateman, a collaboration with the Seattle-based organization Music of Remembrance. This recording featured on the Naxos label. And again, my thanks to Minna Miller, founder of Music of Remembrance, for being my morning show guest today here on WGTD. I had intended for today's morning show to also include an excerpt from the single most memorable morning show interview I have ever recorded with Alexandra Zabruder, editor and author of an extraordinary book called Salvaged Pages, a collection of 15 young person diaries from the Holocaust. Diaries very similar to the diary of Anne Frank, but not nearly so famous, but every bit as powerful and poignant. Although there's no time to share that excerpt in the broadcast, in the podcast version of the program, I will make available that interview in its entirety. I hope on this Holocaust Remembrance Day or whenever time allows, you will seek out that interview and listen to it. And I hope you will also seek out this amazing and important book called Salvaged Pages. Tomorrow on The Morning Show, I'm very excited to welcome into the studios Trevor Young, very well known to the citizens of the city of Racine. He was elected an alderman in his early 20s, the youngest alderman in Racine since the mid-19th century. He was recently appointed transit manager for the city of Racine, and we're going to be talking with him about all of the important issues that are